God is looking for us to live a beautiful life, satisfying and beautiful in His eyes. It is what He deserves. But we don't just do it out of obligation. We do it by choice. I choose that which is pure and lovely and of a good report. And as I choose that, I reap from that. And the fruit of my life will be beautiful. I wanted to begin today just having another look at this scripture here in Hebrews chapter 4, where we'll begin, if you have your Bibles, chapter 1. It says here, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest." I was so challenged as thinking about this scripture, this idea that we've had the gospel preached to us. Thank you, God, for the good news of the gospel. What's the gospel? The good news that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth, gave himself as a sacrifice for our sin once and for all. He died and he rose again and now offers freely salvation, eternal life, the gift of righteousness, the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. This is the good news of the gospel. Hallelujah. And this is the gospel that's been preached to us. Hooray! Praise the Lord. And this scripture is saying, you know, those that have heard this good news, have to, though, mix their faith with what they're hearing in order to receive the benefit of it. No, without mixing it with faith, we don't actually enter into the blessing of what it means to be in the kingdom of God, of what it means to live in the kingdom. Can I see Emily? Hello. Oh, it's lovely to see you. God bless you, my friend. We miss out on the privilege of stepping into the glorious freedom of the gospel. And so even as I was praying this morning, I was going through my list and praying about all the different things and thinking about this verse, mixing my faith with it, and recognizing that sometimes I fall into the habit of, as I'm praying, going through the motions of thinking, I know it's good to pray, I know God answers prayer, I'm praying, but not actually mixing my faith with the reality that whatever I ask according to his will, I can have. And missing out sometimes because I'm not cognitively remembering that God hasn't called me just to be someone who knows about the word, but actually actively, joyfully mixing my faith with what he said. Last night, I got some pain in my tummy, and it was very uncomfortable, and it got worse and worse, to the point that at dinner I was had my head on the table and I'm moaning and groaning and saying, I think I might have to go to the hospital, it's so bad. And then I said, and my mind started going down, if I have to go to the emergency room, it might take a long time, what would they do, oh, what could it be, da, da, da. And suddenly I realized what I was doing, and I thought, no, I don't want to do any of that. I said, that's enough of this. Emily, Tom, pray for me now. This is done. This is enough. And I texted my intercessors, pray. And you know, within 15 minutes, all the pain had gone and didn't come back. Hallelujah. But it took me a while because my default, my first thought was, oh, I'm going to think like, in the natural, oh, this is what's going to happen, and this is what, oh, this could be the scenario, and da 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 da. Now, medical things are good. I'm so grateful for doctors, for the medical profession. I'm not saying you don't seek medical help when you need it. But I am saying that the very first thought we should have should be a produce of where we're living, and that is in the rest of faith. That we can be children of God who aren't subject to all the ways and the patterns of our old life, but actually have been invited into the privilege and the freedom of being able to pray and believe with a childlike faith that God will answer. And so they prayed for me, and I believed, that's right, fine. We made plans to enjoy the evening and relax, and Emily made me a nice hot chocolate, and everything was good. Praise the Lord. You know, I believe that the Holy Spirit is calling us to be intentional, to change our thinking. And I want to share a little tonight on this subject we've been talking about, living a devoted life, what a life in the light looks like, what it practically looks like for us. A lot of people use the name Christian. They say, I've been baptized, I'm a Christian, but actually don't understand the privilege of what it means to have this beautiful life, to have life and life more abundant. Tom and I are living with my daughter, Jessica and Bryce. Are they still here? Yes. There you are. Hello, Bryce. God bless Bryce, my son-in-law. He is very mercifully having us in his home. And there's some benefits to living there. I get to see my little grandson every day. He's delightful. And they have a coffee machine. And I tell you, it makes frothy milk that is just so good. Last night, Emily made me a hot chocolate with this frothy milk with Lindt chocolate and marshmallows. And I just thought, this is the life. Frothy milk with this magnificent milk frother. In the daytime, when I get up in the morning, they don't live too far away from the river, so I can go for a walk and I can walk along the river in the sunshine. It's a beautiful life. But you know, I could also make the choice to sit in my room all day and be miserable and cranky, having the same benefits, but not using it, not taking advantage of it. And in the kingdom, we've been given life and life more abundant. We've been given all these beautiful opportunities to live an abundant life, to live a life of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I have access to peace that passes understanding. I have access to a supernatural joy that gives me strength. I have the privilege of being able to pray and receive answers to prayer by the power of the Holy Spirit, or I could sit in my room and be miserable. And we in the kingdom need to be aware. Wake up and aware. There's an awakening going on right now. And the awakening is, I believe, to the fullness of the kingdom of God. You know, all of earth is groaning and waiting for you to wake up and actually step into the light, the freedom, the fullness of the light that you've been called into. I sang it as a grade one-er in a talent quest, an Evie Tornquist song. Step into the sunshine, get out of the rain. Anybody old enough to remember Evie Tornquist? Hello. Hi, you over 50s. Praise the Lord. This idea of stepping into the sunshine, stepping into the light, living in the light, might seem like a childlike, simple message. But the reality of is many of us have become too crusty and proud to actually live in the joy of frothy milk and river walks, of freedom, of joy, of the life that we have been invited into the life of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Therefore, you get Christians who spend their days behind a computer as keyboard warriors looking for someone to disagree with on the internet. And you think, I'm pretty sure that is not life and life more abundant. We've been called to be known by our love. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. Not by your opinions or by your crankiness or by what you're against. He's looking for those who would shine like stars in the universe as they hold out the word of life. Amen? So we're going to read some scripture today. I would love to if you'd turn with me to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. This is Tom's translation. He loves this. He didn't write the translation. He just has a copy of it. I quite enjoy it. Says this, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he'll find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. God wants to continually change the way we think, that we're not conformed to the pattern of the world, conformed to our old habits, or conformed to the way other people think or what other people do, but to be continually transformed to a new way of thinking, a new way of living. Oh, my life's a musical, I tell you. I've found a new way of living. Praise the Lord. I got a song for everything. But in finding the new way, in finding the light, we have to make a deliberate choice to walk by faith in the fullness of that freedom, to choose life." Hallelujah. I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation because it's beautiful. Here in verse 1. "Beloved friends, what should our proper response to God's marvelous mercies be?" In other words, how should we respond to this amazing gospel? The good news that we've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light. I've been set free. I've been made clean. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to achieve it. By the grace of Jesus Christ, I've been forgiven. I've been made new. Hooray, praise the Lord. This good news, hallelujah. He is better than I feel like I deserve. Even if my heart condemns me, he's greater than my heart. My sins are forgiven. I've been made a new creation, and Christ is living in my heart through faith. Hooray! Is Christ living in your heart through faith? Wow. That happens not by works, but by the great grace of God. Wow. Hooray! I'm free. I'm saved. Isn't that awesome? So what should my response to this wonderful mercy be? He tells us, surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart, for this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. Ah, what does it look like to live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes? You know, if you ask the world what a beautiful life looks like, they'd probably hold up the Kardashians or, you know, say a beautiful life looks like a beautiful house and beautiful cars and beautiful things. But the truth is, if you look and see, everybody knows that there are many people who have all of these things and more and yet are sad, who are miserable, who even end up committing suicide sometimes because they haven't found the answer in things. You see, a deeply beautiful, satisfying life is available only from the one who can truly satisfy us. That is the life, the source of life himself, the one who is pure and holy, who is goodness himself, the Prince of Peace. The one who is love, who can cast out all fear. The one who can cause you to live continually in supernatural peace, in absolute freedom freedom from fear, freedom from shame, freedom from bondage, freedom from all the things that would try to gnaw away or seep away the joy that you think you have. It's an abiding, deep, supernatural joy, a supernatural peace that he has for us. It's called life and life more abundant. He tells us that he wants us to prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. In other words, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. As your soul is prospering, all these other things will get added. As you get what is most important right, you'll discover the true source of a satisfying, beautiful life. As you drink deeply from the river of his pleasure, it's a life filled with peace and goodness and joy and love. But as you look at this scripture, it's very clear that this is found a completely different way to the way the world would do it. The way that the Lord tells us to try to find a beautiful life is simply to surrender ourselves to the rest of peace. Surrender ourselves to the one who is good, to actually lose our life to find his. See, the Bible tells us if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. And the whole world is out there trying to save their life. They're trying to make it for themselves. They're trying to get what they think they need to make them happy. And in the process, are not finding life. The Bible tells us that there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. The wages of sin is death. Whoever you serve is who will support you, is who will supply you. And if you're serving yourself and sin, you're going to reap the rewards that come from that. But if instead you surrender yourself to the one who is life and peace and righteousness, you receive the provision of the one who is goodness personified. You receive the provision of the one who promises that he comes to give life and life more abundant. So I want to open up my life to receive fully from the life giver. I've learned that even though you might feel the pull and the temptation to try and, you know, have a bit of this and a bit of that, in the end, only Christ gives life. Everything else is sinking sand. It's actually, it might taste good for a moment, but it just ends up sour in your stomach. True life comes from actually surrendering to holiness, surrendering to God's ways. It's not a life of religiosity and deprivation. It's a life as you surrender where you find him and you find everything. You find everything pertaining to life and godliness. You discover true joy, true peace, and in making him number one, he then adds all these things to us. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, we read this last week, says, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And so let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't lose heart." In other words, every day in this beautiful kingdom, in this beautiful life, we have a choice. Are we going to give ourselves our attention and everything to the blessings and the privilege of walking as children of the light? Or am I going to sow to the flesh? Sowing to the flesh can look like, well, you know, I just like horror movies and I'm just going to watch this. This will be all right. I can handle it. But, you know, if you sow to the flesh in like, I'm going to watch a horror movie, I'm going to watch something that's, you know, lustful or this, you're going to end up struggling with the very thing that you're giving your attention to. Don't be surprised if you end up with fear and anxiety and nightmares. If you're looking at something that's unclean and impure, don't be surprised that you end up finding yourself struggling with impure thoughts or with lust, because what you are giving yourself to is supplying you. What you sow to is what you reap. So, oh, why would I do that when I've been invited into this beautiful kingdom, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy? He says, whatever is true and noble and pure and lovely and of a good report, think on these things. The Bible gives us this beautiful directory of how to enjoy to the full the fullness of the light, the fullness of the kingdom of God. And you can every day choose life, or you can choose to begin to sow to your emotions and your flesh, and like, oh, I'm angry about that, I'm going to think about that, I'm going to get bitter about this, or I'm going to do this, and the mixture will only leave you feeling frustrated and dissatisfied. Whereas God says, if you'll just surrender, just give it up, give up your life today, give up the lordship of your life and make me Lord, then the fullness of my supply will come to you. The fullness of joy, the fullness of peace, the fullness of faith. I'll give you everything you need if you'll give your attention to me by looking at the Word of God every day. You know, every day He has treasure for you. Every single day. Have you found your treasure today? There's a special personal message from God in the Bible for you personally today. It's waiting for you. If you haven't found it yet, look at it tonight before you go to sleep and read it until you find it. Find the manna, the daily bread He has for you today. Every day He's got a word to speak to you. And that precious word is powerful, it's beautiful, it's part of the provision of abundant life that He has for you. Yet many people become too busy in their life to actually sit down and find it, because we've become deceived into believing that we need to, in our own strength, find the beautiful life. When in fact, the opposite is true. We need instead to surrender and follow His ways, to look at Him, look at His word, give our attention to Him, and let Him feed us with the heavenly life. Amen? See, I set before you life and death. And then He tells us what to choose. He says, you got a choice every day. You got a choice. Life or death? Choose life. It's an open book test. He actually tells you the answer. Choose life. But we need the help of the Holy Spirit every day to intentionally make that choice. We need to recognize that we are making a choice. You know, some people, they live consistently in sadness and misery. Now, I am not undermining what people go through when they're struggling with depression and different things. But I want to point out to you that the Lord every day has the help you need to choose joy. He has the help you need to choose life, that which is holy and pure and lovely. He has help for you. He has encouragement for you. He has treasure for you in the Word. He has a promise for you. He has help for you. It's all available. You could choose to listen to something really encouraging, to read something wonderful, or you could sit down and turn on Netflix and you know, just let it feed you whatever it wants to feed you. And what you are choosing is what will continue to feed you. God has given you power by His Holy Spirit to choose life in every aspect of our day and every aspect of our life. Amen? Let's just read some of these lovely options that God puts out for us. They're not options. They are. There's this choice for life. This is what's available on the table. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9 says this. Now on the topic of brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you are practicing it toward all the brothers and sisters in all of Macedonia. Aaron said, yay. But we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do more, do so more and more, to aspire to lead a quiet life, to attend to your own business, and to work with your hands as we commanded you. In this way, you will live a decent life before outsiders and not be in need. Wow. He says, actually, mind your own business and you'll be happier. That's a really good life lesson. Lead a quiet life. Look after what you've been given responsibility for. Do it with joy. Do it with consistency. And stop worrying about trying to sort everybody else out and trying to argue with people you've never even met. Praise the Lord. You are not responsible for someone you consider a heretic in the other part of the world. Not your job. Just don't listen to it. Lead a quiet life. Mind your own business. Shine the light. Be known by your love, not by your opinion. The heart of the Father is to raise up a company of people that shine like stars in the universe, that are so shiny, that are so full of life, that are so full of joy, that are so full of good news and the testimony of Jesus, that people around you say, you got to tell me where you get this joy from. What is it about you? You're just shining. I've had people come up to me at times. I remember we went to we got some tickets through Tom's business to a Formula One racing thing. I think it was Formula One. It was very noisy cars. It was so noisy that I actually went out into the park and I was worshiping Jesus because I was like, at the top of my voice, because nobody could hear me. And this person just came up to me and they were looking at me like this. They're going, you're shiny. And I got to lead them to Jesus just from being in a place where I was worshiping the Lord. You know, people should be attracted to the light, not be repelled by your arrogance and your opinion. The world is looking not for something they need to defend themselves against, but they are looking for life. We love our mentoring sessions with our monthly partners. Here's a testimony from one of our partners, Jody.
I love being a partner because I get to share Jesus with you guys all over the world. With the Zoom meetings, you show that God is personal, that he speaks back and he's kind and he cares. And yeah, we're in unity together, partnering and we're doing this together. We're loving the world and the one together.
Would you consider becoming one of our monthly partners? We love our time with our partners and we'd love to see you as part of our monthly mentoring sessions.